not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, the message that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of creation, is reconciling human beings to himself. The good news that we can be forgiven our sin, cleansed, made righteous, given an eternal and secure place with the Lord God of heaven. What a wonderful message. Well, I'm not ashamed of that gospel, that good news, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, Rabbi Paul writes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And we want to welcome you to a lovely Thursday edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. We're coming to you live today from the spacious and congenial studios of Faith Talk 1500, and also coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael. And Rabbi Lorne, we have a very special guest, a dear friend with us today, calling in all the way from Israel.
That's true, Rabbi Glenn, and his name is Dan Sared, and he is the leader of Jews for Jesus in Israel. This is a growing ministry of Jews for Jesus in the nation of Israel. And Dan, we are so glad to have you today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be to be on with you guys.
Thank you, Dan. Well, let's start off by you telling us a little bit about yourself, your story. How did Jesus make you kosher?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I was born and raised in a typical Israeli home. I'm here in Israel, and I had a typical Jewish Israeli upbringing. Both my parents weren't born in Israel. They're actually born in Romania, but they moved to Israel with their parents as young teenagers, and they met in Israel and fell in love. And both had pretty successful careers, and had my brother and I in a very typical Jewish-Israeli home where both are atheists. But, you know, like everybody in Israel, we celebrated at home all the Jewish holidays. And, of course, they're a part of the culture in Israel. So, you know, every year as we would celebrate, for example, Pesach, Passover, or, you know, tomorrow we have the Feast of Shavuot, of Pentecost, or any of the other holidays or feasts. I always believed that God was actually in those feasts and that God was real. And I'm starting to go to public schools in Israel. In Israel, we all study the Old Testament scriptures in school. And, you know, so studying the stories and reading more about them, God just increased my faith in him. And it was during my bar mitzvah studies that I was really contemplating and really thinking a lot about my Jewishness and about God. And during that time, right before I turned 13, at my Old Testament class at school, the teacher decided to teach us about the Messiah. And she told us, she shared with us some scriptures from the Old Testament about who the Messiah would be and where would he be born and what tribe he would be from and what lineage he would be from. And the question of him being from the tribe of Judah really didn't make much sense to me because, you know, in Israel today, nobody really knows if we're from the tribe of Dan or from the tribe of Naphtali or the tribe of Judah. And I was wondering, how would this guy come up and say, hey, listen, I'm the Messiah, I'm from the tribe of Judah. How would we know? Because all those records were destroyed with the Second Temple. So I didn't think that my, you know, that my teacher would have an answer. She was secular. You know, I went to a secular school, but I thought to myself, wow, this rabbi that I'm studying with for my bar mitzvah, he certainly will have an answer to my question as to how would the Messiah be able to prove to us that he's indeed from the tribe of Judah. So I went and I asked him, but guess what? He didn't really have an answer for me. And he said to me, when I said to him, so how would the Messiah be able to prove to us that he's indeed from the tribe of Judah? He said to me, oh, no, don't worry about it. We will just know that he's from the tribe of Judah. We'll just know that he's from the tribe of Judah. But as a 13-year-old, I wasn't convinced. And it really confused me. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, this this weight that Orthodox Jews have for the Messiah just doesn't really make much sense. But I didn't really know what to believe in. So I went back to my secular ways. Of course, we celebrated my bar mitzvah, and we had a big party, and I got a lot of presents. But I really didn't know what to believe in anymore. And when I was 15, my dad, who was working with the Ministry of Defense in Israel, was sent to serve in the Israeli consulate in New York. So my mom and I moved with him. And I graduated from both high school and university in New York. And in the university, I was studying math. I got a Bachelor of Science in math. And while I was studying for my bachelor, I needed some extra cash, so I got a job tutoring students who needed extra help in math. And so I was a tutor, and one day I was helping a girl named Dina with her math homework. And after I finished helping her, she recognized my accent in English, and she asked me if I was Russian. And I said to Dina, I said, no, I'm not Russian, I'm Israeli. And she said, oh, well, that's great, I'm also Jewish. So we had something in common, so we began talking. And then at some point in the conversation, Dina told me that she believes in Yeshua. Now, being fluent in Hebrew, I knew what the word Yeshua means. It means salvation, but I've never met a person in Israel who's named Yeshua. So I asked Dina, who is this Yeshua that she's talking about? And she told me that it was Jesus. And I was shocked. First of all, I was shocked to find out that Jesus's real Hebrew name is Yeshua and not Yeshu, the way that most Israelis call him here. I don't know if you know this, but Yeshu is actually a curse that the rabbis placed on Jesus' name many years ago in the Middle Ages. And it actually stands for, in Hebrew, the name Yeshu stands for an acronym which spells out, may his name and memory be blotted out. Now, most Israelis don't really know that that's what Yeshu stands for, but still, that's the way we always called him, you know? So all of a sudden, I find out that, no, his real name is Yeshua. And it means something, you know, it means salvation. And then the second thing that really surprised me was to meet somebody who was Jewish and believed in Jesus, because I've never met anybody like that before. So I was really interested, and a few days later, Dina and I met for lunch. It was during that lunch that Dina opened the Old Testament scriptures to me, the Tanakh, and she shared with me prophecies about the Messiah. And then she showed me in the New Testament how Jesus fulfilled each and every one of those prophecies. And then a few days later, I prayed with Dina to receive the Lord. So that was the moment when Jesus made me kosher. And then about 2 years later, Dina and I got married.
So, Dan,
praise God
what
for
year,
that as
what,
well.
Year, what year was it that you became a believer? How long ago?
December 12th, 1997.
Okay, so 15 years ago. Yep. You said that you had a typical Israeli upbringing, and then you went on to say that your home was basically atheistic. That's kind of shocking, I think, for most evangelical Christians, because there's this misconception that our Jewish people, all of us are, you know, deeply religious and God-fearing, but that's really not the case, even in Israel, right? Tell us more about that.
No, especially in Israel. I mean, you know, I agree with you 100%. I mean, when I speak to evangelical Christians, that's the number one thing that people are so shocked at, because they think that, wow, in Israel, everybody, you know, knows the Tanakh, knows the Bible, knows the Old Testament, and they all believe in God. And that is so far from the truth. I mean, first of all, most people in Israel, most Israelis, are very secular. The Orthodox are only about 25%. And the Orthodox, of course, are the ones that wear the yarmulkes, but they're a minority. And most of the Jewish people around the world are either atheists or agnostics, mainly because of the Holocaust. Of course, the Holocaust effect has added to the disbelief in God, you know, the question, where was God when the 6 million died? And of course, the whole Zionistic movement in Israel has not been one. The kibbutz movement and the Zionists, you know, none of them were really believers in God. It was very atheistic. atheistic and very agnostic movement. So, yeah, so that's the reality. I'm in Israel and even in the United States.
Well, Dan, let me ask you this. This is certainly something you've heard before, probably many times. So let's pretend that I'm the one challenging you. I'm your fellow Israeli on the street, and I come up to you and I say, look, everyone knows that Jews can't believe in Jesus, so you're no longer Jewish, right?
Well, yes, I would say to that, wrong, of course, and I would ask the person who asked me, I said to him, so what makes you Jewish? Who is a Jew? You know, if you go by what the rabbis say, it's because your mother is Jewish. Well, you know, my mother is so far from believing in Jesus that, you know, she's very hostile to the gospel and she doesn't believe in Jesus. So, you see, she's Jewish, I'm Jewish. I mean, if you go by what the rabbis say, if you go by what most Israelis say, you know, actually in a recent poll, most Israelis say that, you know, if you call yourself Jewish, you are Jewish. You know, and I certainly identify myself as a Jew. And I would tell them, you know, what makes you Jewish? You know, why do you say that you're Jewish?
Okay.
So that's how I would answer it.
Okay. And
my question, which is, of course, a very Jewish thing to do. So.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, of course, our identity comes from God, who appointed us to the family he appointed us to. You know, you and I might just as easily have been born into Korean families, but God saw fit to put us in Jewish families, yours from Romania, then in Israel, and mine in the United States. But, Dan, tell us a little bit about Jews for Jesus in Israel. You know, I think a lot of our listeners are still under this impression that for some reason evangelism is not legal in Israel, but that's not true. Could you tell us a little bit about how Jews for Jesus got going in Israel and maybe also what's going on today?
Yeah, so Jews for Jesus was, first of all, the first missionaries from our ministry that came in to Israel, Ephraim and Jeannie Goldstein, moved to the land in 1994. They came with their two boys. They came in to just establish their life in Israel, to kind of spy the land, if you will, to kind of try to see what would happen. And then they just were there as a couple with their two boys for about 6 years until our first Israeli staff joined. And then in the year, in September of 2000, after a long battle through the Israeli bureaucracy, we were actually able to register Jews for Jesus as an official nonprofit organization. So we're officially an amuta, which is an NGO. And so that was a big landmark. And really, since that moment, it seemed that God really started to pour his blessings, and our branch in Israel just started to grow and grow and grow. And in 2006, Ephraim gave the leadership of the Israel branch of Jews for Jesus to me, which was always the strategy to raise up an indigenous leadership. We want to do that in all the countries that we're in, and then you know, let the indigenous folk, you know, and lead the work. And that happened in 2006. And then today, Jews for Jesus, our largest branch in the world, is in Israel. We just recently have opened a new branch in Israel. We always had our branch in Tel Aviv. And just in February, we opened the Haifa branch, and we have three missionaries there, plus another 17 staff in Tel Aviv. So we have about 20 staff here in Israel, which is amazing. And then in 2008, we launched what we call Behold Your God Israel, which is our commitment to conduct saturation evangelistic campaigns in every one of the geographic regions of Israel. There are 12 regions. No surprise there. And we want to do one of our saturation evangelistic campaign in each one of these regions. And then I just now I returned back to my home near Tel Aviv from actually our seventh campaign, the Lower Galilee campaign. And just today we concluded it. A few hours ago we had our celebration service. And once again we saw God really doing some amazing things. You know, God is really on the move here in Israel. And more than ever, we're seeing openness. We're seeing people who are seeking, people who want to be kosher, you know. And it's just amazing to see what God is doing. And just through our campaign, we saw five Jewish Israelis pray with us to receive the Lord right there on the streets.
That's outstanding. Wow.
Yeah, praise God. Plus, we already have had two Jewish decisions and Jewish professions through our follow-up. You know, obviously, as we collect the names, we start calling up people and meeting with people. We have a whole follow-up team, and we already have seen two decisions from that. Plus, praise God, we also saw the Lower Galilee region is the center of it is the city of Haifa, which is a very mixed city that has both Arabs and Jews kind of living side by side, not always peacefully, but more recently pretty peacefully. And also on campaign, we saw four Arabs, Arab Israelis pray with us to receive the Lord. And that's exciting, you know?
So Dan, what kind of things are you actually doing, specific things as far as evangelism, like on these campaigns? You got the guys and gals out there with T-shirts, right?
Yeah, definitely. We go out with our T-shirts, and we have a slogan that we use that says Yeshua, which is, of course, the way people in Israel call Jesus. Yeshua, equal sign, Yeshua, which is Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua. And then equal sign, Yeshua. Yeshua is the most common way that the word salvation is used in the modern Hebrew language. It's used in the feminine, Yeshua. So that's the slogan, and we have that on our T-shirts. And, yeah, we go out with T-shirts. We hand out tracts. We engage people in conversations. And during rush hour, as people, drive through rush hour to work, we stand with huge banners on intersections and above highways, on bridges with huge banners that, again, say the slogan and has on it our phone number. And it's amazing how many people call in. It's just amazing. You know, when we have our 12 banners out there, we could get, in the course of 2 hours, we can get hundreds of phone calls. Now, it's true, most of the phone calls are negative and people who, you know, are hostile, but we're always finding people who want to know more, people who want to engage with us in conversation. And another methodology that we employ is that we call people from the phone book, and we offer them a free copy of the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament. The New Testament is not a book that's readily available in Israel, so we like to offer it to them for free as a gift. So we do that as well. Plus, we also advertise on billboards and in newspapers. And we really try to get the gospel out in any way that we can. So,
what kind of impact would you say this outreach in Haifa made, along with the newspapers and these big signs in Israel? Did you have a national impact outside of just the...
Yeah, tell us about that. We definitely had a national impact because the nine newspaper ads that we had were only national newspapers. So right from there, it was national. But, again, through the billboards, and because the billboards were all on a major highway, so, you know, Israel is such a small country, you know. People from Tel Aviv come up to Haifa all the time, you know. So just through that, I'm sure we had a national effect. And we've actually seen a lot of that from the contact, because we got contacts from all over as well.
Dan, a lot of evangelical Christians understand that it is the responsibility of Christians to bless Israel. I will bless those who bless you, Genesis 12, and the one who curses you, I will curse. I think a lot of Christians understand that principle and that it's still ongoing today. And so Christians, need to stand by Israel and bless Israel. Now, let me ask you a question.
Amen.
Do you believe it's better to bless Israel by supporting someone like Rabbi Eckstein, this Orthodox rabbi who is against Jesus and supposedly is, you know, bringing Jews to Israel, although, you know, that's really not a great need, or John Hagee, who's got a political action committee, you know, in the United States? Is that the best way to bless Israel, or is our greatest need to do what you guys are doing in Israel and Haifa and Tel Aviv, standing out in the streets, buying, you know, media buys in the major newspapers and telling our Jewish people that the Messiah has come? What's your opinion?
Well, I'll tell you what my opinion is, and it really depends on your viewers, of our audience, of the listeners. I mean, if for you the best blessing out there, if it's Jesus, if it's Yeshua, just like it's for me, you know, I mean, for me the best blessing in my life is him. You know, it's Jesus, it's Yeshua, it's the Messiah. So if that's the best blessing in your life, I mean, you should want to share it, right? So, I mean, that is by far the number one need here in Israel. I mean, Israel is an unreached country. Most of the people here, like I said, have never even, don't even know that his name is Yeshua. You know, they still call him Yeshu by that curse that the rabbis placed on him. So, of course, the gospel is really what's needed, the good news. And, you know, all these other guys, I mean, Rabbi Eckstein, some of the funds that he raised here from evangelical Christians go to support the anti-missionary groups that go against us, you know?
So you have
but
Christians...
It's amazing how much money he's able to raise from Christians to oppose other Christians and to oppose Messianic Jews in Israel and to oppose the church in Israel.
Dan, that is so crazy that God's people here in the United States are giving to Orthodox Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein, and he's taking those funds from Christians, and then he funnels it to Jewish organizations in Israel that oppose us. What kind of insanity is that?
It's insane, and then you got other, you know, so-called Christians who come up and say, well, you know, Israel doesn't need the gospel, you know. And Israelis, Jewish people, oh, they've got their own covenant with God.
Well, we know that's not true. Dan, we only have about a minute left. What's the best way for the listeners of Jesus Made Me Kosher to support you and your work in the land of Israel? How can we do that?
Well, you go on www.jewsforjesus.org, and you'll see there a link. It's very simple. You just need to go online to www.jewsforjesus.org, and then you'll be able to support us. You can just you'll see a whole bunch of stuff there about Israel, and it's very easy. Just go on our website.
That's great.
Well, Dan, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to come on Jesus Made Me Kosher. We certainly appreciate hearing how the Lord God of Israel got a hold of you through our precious sister Dina. And we're just praying for God's blessings upon your family, upon all of the staff and the volunteers at the Jews for Jesus branches across Israel. Pray that even more branches might be established there. Rabbi Lauren and I were joking that once you start one in Eilat, you can just call us and we'll be there in a heartbeat.
Well, hey, guys, thank you so much for having me. It was a privilege. And anytime you guys want me to come on, just let me know.
Well, thank you.
You will, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks so much. And, folks, we hope you enjoyed that. And we do want to encourage you to support the work of Jews for Jesus. If you want to bless the Jewish people, give my people what they need. And that is the good news. They don't need award ceremonies. They need to hear the good news that Messiah Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life, and the way for eternal life. And we also want to invite you to check out our website. It's Shema.com. That's Shema.com. You'll find lots of good materials there. So on behalf of Rabbi Lauren and me and everybody at Congregation Shema Yisrael, we want to invite you back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening, and we want to say shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.